Wow, thank you very much, Mr. Urbana, for that. That does really add to the enjoyment of the feast for us to have some performances that inspire us. I was glad Mr. Foster admitted to it, because I've been a whole day of whoa, stuck in there. It's not that. That's good. They did an excellent job yesterday. Mr. Gerald Cliver shared with us his growth of patience and dealing with a bad waitress. We had a little different experience. We were at this little sort of a small restaurant, but we had the super waitress. We had this lady, and she's there. Your food's there. Your drink's there. Your refills are there. And not only that, but she seemed to be the only waitress in the restaurant. And so I mentioned, is she the only person here? Is she? You get the impression that maybe she was cooking the food as well. She was moving, she was going, everybody's getting their food, everybody's happy and enjoying their meals. And it come time to decide what we wanted to leave for a tip, what do we do? Mr. Foster said we should tip well, and even if we didn't get good service, but she got fantastic service. So it's like, $15 would be a good tip. So, let's, $20 would be a better tip. We could do that. Well, we could double that, and then maybe add another 15% on top of that. Became a little bit awkward because now the tip's more than the bill was. A little different experience than what she had. We did have, I did exaggerate on that story just a little bit, but if you couldn't tell, you could probably tell. I said, I don't believe everything he said. Didn't happen exactly like that. I mentioned on my first time up here speaking, I was from Laurel, Mississippi, and we have the United Church of God has a congregation in Laurel, Mississippi. Me and my wife came here. We did have some other people from the Laurel congregation. Great minds do think alike. So we had some other individuals from Laurel who made it over here as well. We have Mr. Mark Stewart, who, if we all stand up, you could look around and see him because he's one of the taller people in the hall. He actually lives in Alabama, so he drives a good long distance to come to services every Sabbath. So he's here with us, and Mr. Marty Whitted is here. You may have gotten one of his pens. I noticed he was giving out pens, so you may have got an ink pen, may have met him that way. And we have Obi and Lisa Parker, who have been helping out on the little information table on the back of the hall here. And they're actually deacon and deaconess in our congregation there in Laurel. And I walked by. We put we tore the scraps of paper and put our names on them for the seats, to save the seats for the week. And I walked by Mr. Obi Parker's chair leaving out here earlier in the feast and noticed that it was really just kind of ripped out. It was ragged all the way around, with the Parker name out there. And it caused me to laugh a little bit. Because if you've met Mr. Parker, he's a little bit rough around the edges, too. He'll get me back for that. Don't worry. I do have my wife, Robin, is here with me. And I've got some more of my family, but they didn't come from Laurel because my daughter moved to Texas several years ago. And have two children. Probably quite a few of you have met Maverick and Lena. They are gregarious, even though they're fairly young. 6 and 3, Lena and Maverick. They have met a lot of people in the hall. They really enjoy meeting individuals. Lena's, that's one of her favorite statements as we go to where other people are. Says, "Are we going to find some new friends?" It's like, yes, we probably will. You definitely will, that's for sure. We have, of course, my daughter, Jennifer, and her husband, Dan. They live up in, we say where they live, we say Dallas. Well, they don't live in Dallas. They live outside of, their address is outside of Sherman, Texas. Some of you may know where that is. It's a little further north, kind of in the north part of Texas up there. So I have connections to Texas that way. So we've really enjoyed being together with them throughout this feast. My son, Jason, who a lot of people, I get that quite a lot. A lot of people come up to me and said, Greg Musgrove. I say, yes. And they said, you're Jason's dad. Yeah. So they're in Panama City Beach then this year. God is a family. God is adding children to his family. God is calling you to be a child in his family. We know that, don't we? Doesn't hurt to hear it again, though, does it? It helps for us to absorb it, to learn it, to remember how important it is that we are part of God's family. Family is about togetherness. We're one big family here at the Feast of Tabernacles in New Braunfels, Texas this year. Family of children of God that have come together. We look so forward to this every year, to be able to come together, to fellowship with each other. My wife and I have a somewhat large family. There were 7 kids in my family. I was one of 7. She was one of 9 in hers. And so, and we're now beginning to get on up in the years to where you wonder how much longer we're all, because we're all still there. All of the kids we're all still here. We haven't lost anyone of our siblings in either family as to this part. As my wife likes to put it, we do not yet have a hole in the blanket. That blanket covering of being a family. There's no hole in it yet. We are still together. We still be able to enjoy the togetherness of our family. This was a purpose of God's plan in bringing us all together. In Ephesians chapter 2, Mr. Cliver was just here in Ephesians chapter 2. He was a little further down the page than I was. I want to go to verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 2. And begin in verse 14. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation, sort of a paraphrased version. It gives a little clearer picture of what we are being told. Verse 14, Ephesians 2, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Verse 16. Together, as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. In our hostility toward each other, was put to death. Jesus Christ, part of his sacrifice, was to bring people together. Togetherness is a part of God's plan. Togetherness has been a part of God's plan since creation. Togetherness is more than just people being together. It is more than people living and working together for a common purpose. It is something far more important. And as we have heard, I think, a few times in this feast, it is people living for each other. That is part of our purpose, is to live for each other. Better together is a phrase that has been made popular in part because of the separation that was caused by the COVID-19. Once the awareness of the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus and its spread, we were all urged to follow advice on social distancing and staying apart as part of slowing the spread of COVID. Then, as the time of separation from one another became longer and longer, the urge in each of us to get back together began to be a yearning. It began to be a force of people to get together. We discovered that our relationships with others are important. They're important for our mental well-being. And that's because things that we receive from our connections with our family is they help us build a sense of belonging and self-worth. They give us an opportunity to share our experiences. They provide emotional support. And they allow us to be able to provide emotional support to others. And then conversely then, the effects of separation have the process of causing anxiety, depression, anger, loneliness, frustration, and boredom. So just casual observation indicates that we know that we are indeed better together. We gain a value of social interaction with being together. And it is easy to discover that it is necessary for humans to have social connections with each other. And especially if those are good connections. An individual who was Bill Bradley, who was a basketball player and then a senator up in New Jersey, said it very well when he said, respect your fellow human beings, treat them fairly, disagree with them honestly, enjoy their friendship, explore your thoughts about one another candidly, work together for a common goal, and help one another achieve it. No destructive lies, no ridiculous fears, no debilitating anger. A very impressive statement of how to get along with other people and with our family. I tend to be a fan of the poet Robert Burns, and he had a poem that was called Mending the Wall. And it is, so that you don't have to read the whole poem, it is about the aspect of fences, really, that were built with stones. Pile up stones. I'm going to have to get some water here. To build a fence. But they don't tend to stay there. And this is what Robert Burns said about that. There seems to be a force in nature, he says. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that sends the frozen groundswell under it and spills the upple boulders in the sun and makes gaps even two can pass abreast. Large gaps in a fence that are caused just because the world just really doesn't like walls. There's sort of a common meme sort of statement, you know, is that we should all be bridges and not walls. Something Mr. Burns is sort of mentioning in his song. The country music singer Luke Combs wrote a song entitled Better Together, with a verse that says some things just go better together. And that's us. We go better together. We do better together. And that's why this year, even with some additional COVID outbreaks, we're here at God's feast, because we're better together. And we are to be children in the God family. In Hebrews chapter 2, not in Hebrews, that's why it doesn't read in what I thought it. Let me get to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm down in verse 10. And I'm going to read this from this easy-to-read version of the Bible. Hebrews 2, verse 10 says, God, the one who made all things and for whose glory all things exist, wanted many people to be his children and share his glory. So he did what he needed to do. He made perfect the one who leads those people to salvation. He made Jesus a perfect Savior through his sufferings. So we are one family, children of God, each of us on a journey, our individual journeys that become part then of the entire family of God. I have three things for us to consider in being children of God. And the items I want to consider are, where are you coming from? Secondly, how long have you been there? And thirdly, where are you going? Where are you coming from? With few exceptions, each of us began our lives somewhere outside the Church of God. There were a few of us, I'm sure, who have been brought up in the Church of God, and they have a little advantage on not having to unlearn the world. But if we were raised and born outside the Church of God, how has that part of your life been of value to you in the Church of God today? What about those who raised you? Those whom you have lived with. In the earliest parts of our lives, we may have lived with parents. We may have had the ideal family, or maybe it was somewhat dysfunctional. Maybe we lived with our parents. Maybe we lived with grandparents or aunts and uncles. There are some that were raised by other caring adults. Some would have been adopted into other families. In some cases, individuals have get raised by their own siblings. So where are you coming from? And how does that fit into your role as a child in the family of God? Everything does influence us. I can recall class. It would have been now pretty much a lifetime ago. It was while I was in college, and it was in a sociology class. I didn't major in sociology, but you have to take some classes when you're to get your degrees. And the part of this class, we went over the influence of siblings. As I say, my wife and I are both from large families, so we can actually have a little experience and see how this affects us. But this study pointed out some aspects of your personality that maybe you don't fully realize, and it pointed out toward the fact that, okay, if you were the oldest child of several siblings, you should not marry the oldest child of several siblings, because you're both going to want to lead. You're both going to want to be the ones in charge, and you're going to butt heads that way. Same, you should not, the youngest and a child in a group of several siblings should not marry the youngest child in a group of several siblings, because the family becomes sort of indecisive and doesn't make decisions well and follow through with things well. And we see that. We can see that. My wife and I were kind of in the middle. So some of that, you know, there's aspects that we probably, either one of us can lead and it'd be okay with the other one. Because if you're in the middle child, you kind of get drug along with the group. Everybody, you don't have much choice. I do remember through my family, it was actually one of my younger sisters that if we were in the restaurant, like Mr. Cliver said, and we're being ignored, that's the one we'd say, go find out what's going on, and had no fear, no, you know, they would just run, hey, what's going on with her? That was enjoyable because we didn't have to do it. She would go get somebody's attention for us and get us to bring us a refill on our drinks or whatever. So we have those aspects of being in a family. So can we see maybe where God was working in our lives from our beginning? Perhaps our experiences were noticed by God before he called us, or while he was calling us, or maybe he directed us into those experiences to make us the person in his family that he wants us to be. We read where God is very patient with those he is adding to their family. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 18, it says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. And then it goes on to say, blessed are all who wait for them. Skipping down to verse 20, it says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or wherever you turn to the left. That's a gift we've been given, that we've been given some direction as to where we should be going if we stay close to God and if we are being obedient and subjective to God. Psalm chapter 71. Psalm 71. Verse 17, Psalm 71, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-haired, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. So where did we come from? And then, how long have we been there? As we said, there's some advantage to maybe being grown up in the Church of God. Some disadvantages too, because the thing that would have pushed those into the Church of God, as God was calling them, is not in play in that version. You weren't there is that tendency to want to see what's the difference of being in the Church of God and out of the Church of God. Most of us, though, remember that there was a season of our life that was before our conversion. And that fits into us being a part of the family of God. We have to be growing and maturing into the son or daughter that reflects our Heavenly Father. So how long have we been there? How long will we be growing? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We we can begin in verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. God's will then for you is for you to mature, to learn how to be holy. And he is working out a plan for us according to his will. 2 Timothy chapter 1. A couple of verses here, beginning of verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." So God has made plans for our marvelously future, even before he created our parents. He planned our destiny according to his own purpose and his own grace. Well, thirdly then, where are we going? Well, we are to be following in Jesus Christ's footsteps, following the example of Jesus Christ into the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Going down to verse 20. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." As firstfruits, we will be among those who will be part of the family of God at the return of Christ. This, of course, is dependent on our behavior into that part. Still here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, going down to verse 49, it says, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit or incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." God tells us that his family includes people who are right now physical men and women as sons and daughters. Where, then, where are you coming from? How long have you been there? Where are you going? Our entire path is taking us into God's kingdom, into the family of God as sons and daughters of the God of heaven, bringing us together. Helen Keller is quoted as saying, "Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much." Perhaps that's why God is so intent on bringing us together, bringing togetherness into our lives as children of God. Well, brethren, this is the final message for the Feast of Tabernacles this year. Tomorrow, we observe a separate feast day. My family has certainly enjoyed our time spent here in this site in New Braunfels, where God has placed his name. It has been inspiring and uplifting to be here among our spiritual brothers and sisters, among our spiritual cousins, among our spiritual aunts and uncles, among our spiritual nieces and nephews, to begin and renew our connections with our spiritual moms and dads, our spiritual granddads and grandmas. Very soon now, we'll be returning to our earthly physical homes and our earthly physical day-to-day lives. There is no doubt that this will be the last time that we will see some of you in this physical life. We will see you again in God's kingdom. In that case, I hope and pray that it's very accurate for us to say to each one of us, "See you soon." Well, during this Feast of Tabernacles season, I want us to celebrate the fact that we are building a life of faith in building the household of God with our children, with our youth, our young adults, our older adults. Through our gifts today, we join with them and with God in building that household together. And as they say, if we all do a little, it adds up to a lot.